We're looking at, beginning this morning, we're going to do a little series up until Easter called Miraculous. And notice, you know, we have that title, Us, because miracles aren't just this thing that just kind of sit out here. They are also an invitation for us to see God at work in our lives. And I think it's important that we kind of define what a miracle is, because we use that word in a lot like love. We use it in a lot of different ways. You know, the sunrise comes up. Oh, look at the miracle of a sunrise. Well, the sun keeps coming up every morning. Or the miracle of childbirth. You know, these are beautiful things, but here's what a miracle truly is. A miracle is when the laws of nature are suspended or redirected for a moment. Now, some people argue that miracles can't be, and the things that we read in the Bible can't be, because those type of things don't happen under natural law. And that's true, but the fact that natural law is being suspended or redirected for that moment is what a miracle is. If it was happening all the time, it wouldn't be a miracle, now would it? So we're going to look and see how God used miracles in Jesus to help us understand who he was and what he was about. But not only do they confirm for us Jesus' identity, they also invite us into a deeper understanding of how he wants to work in his life. So we're going to look at one of those miracles this morning. Now, the question I'd like us to begin to think about, though, is this. Though many of us want to see God at work in our lives, in some form or fashion, whether it's answer to prayer or more wisdom, guidance when we need it, why don't we? Why do we often feel like, well, God's working in everybody else's life but me? What's happened here? Let me suggest to you that very simply, we insist on doing things our own way. And then we expect God to bless our actions. Instead of his will be done, it's our will be done. And we say, okay, God, this is what I want to do. Bless me. But it doesn't work that way. God's involvement in our life happens when we align with his will instead of begging him to align with our will. A number of years ago, I was talking with a couple who had come to our church and spoke with me about having a church wedding. And this was a couple that really had never been to our church much, or actually not at all. And from what I gathered, they really didn't go to church anywhere. And so I asked them, well, what does a church wedding mean to you? Why is that important to you in this time? And they said, well, last time I got married, it wasn't a church, and that marriage didn't go well. So I figure if I get married now in a church, then God will bless it. And I appreciate the appeal, but I had to explain, this is not how it works. Just coming to church here on Sunday doesn't make you a Christ follower. If you turn around and go out and hate your neighbor, or gossip, or lie, and so forth on Sunday. If you have a wedding in a church and then you go into your marriage and you treat each other poorly, you're not going to have a blessed marriage. The blessed life, God's involvement in our life, happens when we are seeking to do his will on a daily basis. One of the things I found is that wading in the shallow end of a pool is not the same thing as going for a swim and all the joys that that brings with it. So we're going to look at this idea of going out into some deeper waters. Let's begin. We're looking in Luke chapter 5. It says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him, listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. Now, several of you know that I was able to go to Israel this past year and have a picture of Lake Gennesaret, which is also known as the Sea of Galilee. And this is up in that area where Jesus would have been. And you can just imagine him there on the shore, kind of talking, and everybody kind of crowding around him. And people probably can't hear him as well. So he goes out and he sees the boats there and he gets into one of the boats and says, "Would you just take me out just a little bit?" And so he can speak. And then the water kind of acts as this nice amplification system. And he can teach the people. So it says he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. And then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. But it doesn't end there. And so this is where we want to begin to answer this question or explore this topic. How do you deepen your faith? How do you go deeper? So we see something that happens here. In verse 4, it says, "When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch.'" Now, I think Jesus knows exactly what he's asking Simon, who is, we find out later, Simon Peter, otherwise known just as Peter. And he answers them, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." I like that. You know, here's Simon, the fisherman, telling Jesus, the carpenter, how it works. "We've done this. We've tried this. We've been at this. And it didn't work." And then he says, "But because you say so, I'll do it." So one of the first ways that we begin to deepen our faith is we have to follow Christ's commands. We have to follow Christ's commands. One of the reasons that we often don't is because Christ's commands are counterintuitive to us. They seem to go against common sense. They don't seem to fit with the way the world works. The world says, you don't love your neighbor, you don't love your enemy. You make sure your neighbor is watching out for you, not you watching out for them. You make sure your enemy knows you're the boss, that you're going to win in a conflict. You don't let anybody take advantage of you. You look out for number one. That your comfort, your pleasure, your desires are the most important thing in the world. And the world should conform to you. Now, few people say that out loud, right? We don't go around boasting that. But it happens. It comes up when we're asked to do something that we just don't want to do. We're afraid to do it. It's going to inconvenience us. And so we come up with these reasons why we need to do what we want to do. It may be pushed by fear, by anger, by something that just rubs us the wrong way. But we don't want to do what God wants us to do. We want to do what we want to do. But when we do that, when we go with our flesh, we miss out on a step of faith. Look at what Paul says to the Colossians. He says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding." So this is one of the things that God wants for us as we grow, as we become followers of Jesus. And he says, "And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light." Now, as you look through this, notice a few things. First off, notice that it's a process. This growth that is to take place, the spiritual growth, the spiritual maturity, this becoming more like Jesus, is a process that takes place. And the process involves moving from belief to knowledge. Belief is centered around a proposition. It's something you say, I believe that. I mean, how many of you believe that Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president of the United States? How many of you know it? So you're saying you were there. You saw him with your own eyes. right? See, knowledge is about experience. I know something when I've experienced. If I haven't experienced, I'm just trusting that what I've been told is true. That's belief. But when I know something, I've experienced it firsthand. So what we have to do as followers of Jesus is move from belief, which is where we start, into knowledge. And the way that we do that is by taking steps of faith, by following Christ's commands. And then we begin to experience for ourselves what God is up to in our lives. Now, here's part of the problem is we're often afraid to go to those new places. And we have to learn to not be afraid of the deeper water. When I was a child, I had kind of this love-hate relationship with water. It took me a long time to learn how to swim. And last year, I finally figured it out. Actually, it did. I can remember probably about 7 years old, still 7 years old, going on eight, taking swim lessons. And just getting kind of passed along because I was the last kid in the minnow class. And I finally said, look, we're out of time. You know, good kid, you can hold your breath, go. And then move on. And I really didn't like water. We owned a boat. We lived in Florida. And I didn't want to go out on the boat for a long time because I couldn't swim. It scared me. I know I liked the shallow water, but I certainly didn't like the deeper water. Because bad things happen out in the deeper water. But also the fun things happen out in the deeper water, don't they? If you've ever been on a boat, you want to get out into the deeper water, don't you? If you want to go water ski or rafting or whatever, you got to go out to the deeper water because the shallow water, you really can't do it that way. So the deeper water is where the exciting stuff happens, but sometimes we can be afraid of that in our lives. God may call us into places that you and I don't want to go. Look at what Paul writes to the Ephesians. He has a similar letter to the Colossians and to the Ephesians. But look what he says. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, that he's living there, he's abiding there. That means he's directing our lives, he's guiding our lives. And he says, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Well, what he's telling us here is that you can't go too deep on God because his love goes as deep as you go. You can't too far from God's love because his love is wide. Wherever you go, God's love will be there. And if you are moving in a direction of faith out into deeper waters, but you're kind of afraid to go there, remember, God goes there too. Let's remember a few things we learned from the Sermon on the Mount. Because oftentimes when we think about the deeper stuff, you know, we think about, I've got deeper faith, so I'm going to sell all my possessions and I'm going to go to Africa and be a missionary, or to China, or someplace like that. That's the deep stuff, right? Let me suggest to you that while that's all very good, and that is deep, the deep stuff happens all around you. And we remind ourselves some of the things that Jesus taught us through the Sermon on the Mount. Remember that he told us that we need to watch what we say about and to people when we are in the middle of a conflict. To not kill people with our words. He told us to be radically committed to reconciliation when we're in the middle of a conflict. And we need to guard our eyes and our hearts and our hands, you know, not look at things we shouldn't look at or not touch things that we shouldn't touch. That we need to keep our promises, that we should be people of integrity, and if our yes means yes, then our no will mean no, and people will know that. We even need to be willing to go that extra mile and serving people and loving our enemies. It's day-to-day stuff that happens in life. The deeper life is at home. It's in your neighborhood. It's at work, at school. It's not off in another country. It's how you choose to respond in a moment where everything in you wants to look out for yourself, but you now have to turn around and look out for other people. To ask yourself, how can I let my light shine in such a way in this moment that people will be drawn to God and not driven from Him? That's where the deeper water is. Hebrews 10:36 says this, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. Now, it's an interesting word there, to persevere, because so oftentimes we tried something and maybe it didn't go very well, or at least it just didn't turn out the way we thought it would. And so we say, well, I tried to obey you, God, it didn't work out. I tried to love my enemy and he just punched me, because they still hate me. I tried to be generous and I went broke. Or I didn't get a yacht in return. I don't know what happened. And so we think, I'm just not going to try. But if we're going to go out into deeper water, we have to be willing to try again. I told you I wasn't a very good swimmer. I remember we moved to California, and they had a park pool there, and they had that divider line, that buoy divider line. You know what I'm talking about? Shallow end on this side, deep end on this side. And the deep end was where the diving boards were. And that's where the fun was at. But before they would let you go in the deep end, you had to pass a test. You had to swim from one side to the other to show that you could swim. Now, we went from Florida, Sunshine State, to Washington State, cloudy, dreary state. Didn't spend much time in the water, kind of forgotten what I learned, so I was trying to reteach myself how to swim. And so I want to go to the deep end. That's where all my buddies are at. They're doing all this cool stuff. I want to do it. So I'm going to swim across the thing. It was not a pretty sight. And in fact, I hit the buoy thing, and it stopped me, and I kind of stopped. You know, where am I? What am I doing? And then I went on and finished. And the lifeguard said, no, you don't know how to swim. Back to the shallow end. You know, I'm already struggling with the cool factor as it is, and now I got to go back. But I worked on my skills some more, and then I tried again. Be willing to try again, folks. Be willing to try again. Sometimes we give up on the church. Sometimes we give up on a small group. Sometimes we give up on serving. We tried it. Try again. Keep persevering. Keep going at it. Get into that deeper water. Because if you do, there's an outcome for you, something waiting for you for the deeper faith. Let's look back at our text. It says, when they had done so, that is, throw their nets down again, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. That's a lot of fish. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Now, you guys who like to fish, that's a pretty good haul, isn't it? So much fish that you're starting to sink. So what do we see here? We see that if we go out into the deeper water, we're going to experience some life-changing results. For Peter and company, that meant a whole lot of fish. You know, think about what he'd done. He'd had a long night and he didn't catch anything. Think about what that means for him. That's not just, you know, a guy going out fishing some friends. We didn't catch anything. That's his livelihood. That's no money in the bank. That means he might be behind and paying off a creditor or something. This hurts. And now he's got more than his boats can handle. What does that mean for his family and for provision? It may mean something directly what we're going to see happening next, because this is some cash that he can now use to support his family, or his family can use to support in his absence. But there's some life-changing results. Now, for you and I, that's not necessarily a boatload of fish. But we can begin to see God begin to change us from the inside. And we can begin to see as we change, that changes the dynamic we have with other people in our lives. It also leads to something else. We're going to take a look here. It says, when Simon Peter saw this, when he saw all this fish, more fish than he can handle, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. This leads Peter to something. It leads him to a deeper reverence for the Lord, and it can lead you and I to the same place. Oftentimes we have this idea that, you know, if God is involved in my life, that I'm suddenly going to become this proud person. But usually I find it when God is really at work in someone's life, it's just the opposite. They become a more humble, more reverent person. They recognize it is God doing something in them and through them, that it's not them, it's God. And they are overwhelmed and awed by God's grace and His mercy and His truths. And we get to that point where we just say, you know, God, it's just you. This is about you. It's not about me. And so we have a deeper reverence and love for the Lord. But we get one other thing too here that we see. It says, then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. And what does Peter get out of this? And what do you and I get out of this? We get a new purpose, a new direction for our lives. That when we begin to really sync up with God's will and move out into the deeper waters of life, of faith, of following Jesus, we find that God begins to direct us and gives us a new purpose in our lives. We're not just about how much money we can get in the bank, how much house we can hold, how you know our kids can do things and stuff. We now become more focused on how do we impact the kingdom of heaven here on earth. How can we help people who are outside the kingdom find their way into the kingdom? How can we help to mature and be a part of discipling other people? You see, Jesus calls us not only to be disciples, followers of Him, He calls us to invite other people to also be disciples, to go along with us. And when they see us learning to follow Jesus in the deeper waters of faith, they begin to see a new aspect of God that they didn't know before, that they can now want in their own lives. Now, will everybody do that? No. Even in Jesus' day, there were people who said, "Thanks, but no thanks, Jesus." But the possibilities are there for other people to come along with us on this journey of faith. I want to show you this photo again. As you look out on the Sea of Galilee, I'm wondering if you can picture Jesus out there. Just out a little ways where the shallow waters go away into the deeper waters. And he's simply saying, "Come on out. Come out here with me." Whatever that looks like in your life right now, where is that deeper water? Is there somebody you need to reconcile with? Somebody you need to forgive or ask for forgiveness of? Is there a conversation you've been putting off? What's going on right now in your life where you sense that deeper water, but oh, you're afraid to go there? That's not what you want to do. But you can see Jesus and you can hear Him saying, "Come out here. And let down your nets again. Try it my way again. And let me work in your life." We're going to sing a song here in just a moment called Oceans. We've sung it before. I'll call your attention to a few of the lines. "You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown where feet may fail. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. And your sovereign hand guides me. Where is that deeper water for you this morning? Maybe that deeper water is finally surrendering to Jesus. You know, our baptistry, physically, it's not very deep, but spiritually, there's deep waters there. Are you ready to go? If you want to use this, the stage of steps here, as a moment to just kind of physically, tangibly, give yourself over to deeper waters, you can do that while we sing. Where is God calling you in this moment? What does that deeper water look like for you? Will you answer his call? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you right now that we can look at your word and we can see that the miracle here is more than the miracle of catching a lot of fish. It's the miracle of you working and changing us on the inside, of reforming and refashioning our character so that we are lining up with your will. Help us, Father, because those deep waters look awful scary to us. But help us to be brave and go there because we know you're there. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.